praise God as it relates to ministry.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm down here a couple of times throughout the summer. And I thank Becky and definitely Kevin for allowing me to come down here and hang out with you all throughout the summertime. And so it's exciting. Praise God. Awesome song. Awesome songs that were sung. I love them. This is my second time hearing them sing. And they bless my heart each and every time. Praise God. And so
yes,
I'm thankful for those songs of praise to God. Everybody doing all right this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Let's just give God one big shout. Hallelujah. Just praise the Lord. Just thank God for this opportunity. Amen. And so we're going to be going into John, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Thank you there, Kevin. John chapter 10:10, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to mess with some of you all's belief systems this morning. I'm going to mess with some of you all's theological stance on this particular passage of Scripture. And we're just going to grow together in the Lord. How about that?
All right.
Everybody all right with that?
Amen.
People don't like when I say I like to mess with their theological foundations and everything else. And the reason why, you know, I do this is because a lot of times, it's not all the time, it's not the majority of the time, but a lot of times, we just misunderstand Scripture, or sometimes people will misteach Scripture or mislead the Scripture, not intentionally, just sometimes we just don't have all that we have need of foundationally to grow in these areas. And so I'm going to mess with some of you all this morning. Other will track right along with me. And it's okay either way you go, but I'm going to give you the Word of God. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you the Word of God. How about that?
Amen.
Amen. And if I happen to mess up, then you correct me. Praise God. I have no problems with being corrected in the Word of God. But with that, let me just say again, happy Memorial Day. Brother T did say we need to make sure that we recognize and honor for which this day is given for. You know, it's to celebrate all the men and women and honor all the men and women who gave their lives in the freedom of our country. Praise God. And, you know, it's different than Veterans Day. Veterans Day, we celebrate all the veterans living and past. But Memorial Day is to talk about those and just to think about those men and women who sacrificed their life. Some some historians date this date back to, I think it's March of 1865. They say that is the original day of decoration, actually out of South Carolina. Others say it was in some early part of 1900s. But in either event, it does not matter. Men and women gave their lives that we may have physical freedoms in this country. Praise God. And we don't want to minimize that. But there's one Memorial Day that none of us should ever forget, because if it wasn't for Christ being on the cross for all of us, hallelujah, then nobody else would have been able to give their lives. Amen. And so outside of us remembering those men and women who bravely laid down their lives, we got to remember Christ Jesus, who gave his life for us all, that we might be free. Praise the Lord. Spiritually as well as physically. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, let's jump into this word this morning, because some of y'all are looking at me like, okay, where you going with all this? John chapter, I'm going to read verse 8 through 10, and work with me this morning. John chapter 10, 8 through 10, and this is what it says. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody heard that? Praise God. I'm going to say it one more time in your hearing. Hallelujah. Here we go again in verse 8 through 10. It says, all, now listen to me good, because this, you got to track with me on this particular passage of Scripture. It says, all, can y'all say that?
All.
All right, I'm going to say that one more time in unison. On three. 1, 2, 3.
All.
Whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. This is Jesus talking. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's pray real quickly. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we may assemble together in your holy and precious name, Lord. I ask right now, God, that you and me, Father, bless this word in which I'm about to give, Lord, that we may receive it spiritually and grow and be nurtured, Heavenly Father, in our life in you. We thank you for all who were able to assemble here today, those who are chiming in with us virtually, Lord, as well as those, Heavenly Father, who wanted to be here but could not. And we pray for all those all over the world today, Heavenly Father, who are entering to their various sanctuaries, God, that they may hear a word, Lord, that will keep them strong in the midst of these storms of life. We definitely lift up those families, Heavenly Father, who have lost loved ones, Lord, serving our country to make sure that we keep our shores safe, Lord, and that we may have the freedoms that we do have on this day. We love you and we thank you most and foremost, Jesus, for dying on the cross for each and every one of us, that we may have life and it more abundantly. In Jesus' name I pray that everybody say amen.
Amen.
This is a very important teaching. And the reason why I say that, because a lot of times, and here's where I'm going to mess with some of you all that, it's a very important teaching because a lot of times people think that Jesus here is talking about the devil. And he's not. Uh-oh, he went quiet. A lot of times when you read this scripture, people think that when Jesus says that the thief does not come except for to steal, to kill, and destroy, they think Jesus is talking about the devil. He actually is not. He says, but I've come that they may have what? Life. And it what? More abundant. Now, he said in the beginning in verse 7, then he says, all who came before me were what?
Thieves.
The devil's not plural, is he?
No.
He's single. He says, all who have come before me are thieves and what?
Robbers.
And then he gives an explanation of what the thief comes to do. And so what a lot of times people miss out on is actually in chapter 9. Because what happened in chapter 9 was a miracle for a young man who was blind all his life, and Jesus heals him. Now I'm giving y'all the Cliff Note version. Y'all ready? Jesus heals this young man. He spits in the dirt. He puts it on his eyes. The young man is healed. He tells him to go down to the pool of Siloam, wash, and you shall receive your sight back. When he does that, the people are in total awe of this great miracle that Jesus has just performed in this young man's life. Amen? Amen. And the people are now in awe. They're wondering, how did this happen? Hasn't this young man been blind all the days of his life? And they say, yeah, he has been. And so like anything else, they take him before the religious who?
Leaders.
Now, Jesus has been at war with the religious who?
Leaders.
He's been fighting with who? The Pharisees, haven't he? He's been fighting with the Sadducees. He's been fighting with the scribes. Not that Jesus necessarily was in a physical tumble match with these folks, but they were not receiving who he was as the Son of who?
God.
Now, how many of y'all here believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
How many of y'all believe that he came to give life and it more abundant?
Amen.
And that's exactly what he came to do. And so what he was the opposite of what was being taught in the people's lives that day underneath of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. And so after he had healed that young man, people wanted an explanation to his what? Healing. They said, so where did he come from? Who is this guy that healed you and how was he able to perform this? And they wanted an explanation. And the people were so caught up in misunderstanding of what was going on, they took this, instead of people celebrating this young man getting his life, his sight back, and when you get your sight back, you might as well almost say you got your life back, amen, because during that time, he was totally dependent upon everybody else for his life. But now he's put into a position of being empowered. He's in a position down to where he can live freely. He's in a position down to where he can do things on his own. But the people were not ready to receive that. And so what did they do? They took him straight to the Pharisees.
Amen.
The Pharisees said, we want an accounting of how this happened. So let's pick up in verse 3 in chapter 9. Let's go there. This is really interesting and fascinating to me. He says, the thief does not come except to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now remember, prior to all this, he says, all who came before me are what? Thieves and robbers. Now in chapter 10, Jesus does address the devil. He calls him the wolf. He addresses him. He calls him the wolf. But everybody before Jesus who came was teaching all that nonsense and all that crazy stuff were what?
Thieves.
And robbers. And he said, they don't come to do nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you go back and you look historically at the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, they really didn't care about teaching the word of God. They were really all about them who? Self.
Amen.
They liked walking through the marketplaces, people reverencing them. They looking all glorious and holy, and people bowing down to them. And that's what was important to them, not the kingdom of God. And they were doing all kinds of crazy things then, that happens still what? Today.
Amen.
And so you have still a lot of people today who are doing what? Stealing, killing, and destroying. And I'm not talking about physical stuff. I'm talking about spiritual stuff.
Amen.
And I'm going to say something else to y'all that some of y'all may not be happy with, but some people will come out and they will steal your dreams. They will kill your desires. And they will destroy who you are as a person. And it doesn't matter if they're a religious leader or not. People are just people. People are messy. People get caught up in all kinds of crazy stuff. And if you're not careful, they will take you right on out of your life. You'll be walking around here like a zombie. Praise God. You will have no hope. You will see no better days. Jesus will no longer be Lord to you. They will strip you of everything that you've come to know about who Jesus is, your Lord and Savior. And now you're walking around just dumbfounded because you don't know what else to do with your life. People are hopeless in the land today. Why? Because all people, not all people, but all those before Jesus came, they came to steal, kill, and destroy. And you got people still doing it today.
Amen.
We done got quiet, didn't we? But let's look at this. I love this for a second. Let's look at chapter 9. Let's actually pick up in verse 8. Jesus did the healing and went to the pool of Siloam. He said, therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat begging? Some said, this is the one. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and what? Wow. So I went and washed, and I received my what? Sight. Shouldn't we be shouting, dancing, and singing this man all the days of his life was blind? Shouldn't we be praising God for the mighty miracles that just happened in this man's life? Shouldn't we be thankful because if God did it for him, then he can also do it for us? You may not be blind, but there may be some things going on in your life that you need God to change. And so if he can change that situation, definitely he can change my situation. Amen?
Amen.
So look what happens. They weren't celebratory. They wanted answers. So then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him formerly who was blind to the who?
Pharisees.
Lord have mercy. That was a bunch of what? Mess. They took it to the people who was destroying him. People who was taking life from him. People about to steal his joy. Now they want an accounting from him. And so he gets into this tug and shove match with the Pharisees. Then the Pharisees also asked him again, how did you receive your sight? He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and told me to wash and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the what?
Sabbath.
You know one of the biggest destroying things about life spiritually is religion?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. One of the biggest destroyers of our life as born again Christians is what?
Religion.
Because God does not seek religion with us. He seeks relationship with us. God wants a personal relationship with each and every one of you, not a religion. Isn't it amazing? We got so many religions out here today, but we don't have anybody really walking around operating in the fruit of God's Spirit, loving one another, caring for one another, long-suffering, patient, kind with one another. But you know what? We know how to keep what? Religion. We know how to tell you if you ain't dressed right. We know how to tell you if you don't look right. We know how to tell you if you don't talk right. We know how to tell you if you don't walk right. We know how to tell you everything wrong with you, but we don't ever learn how to truly what? Love you. All that stuff is religious. I tell people all the time, leave people alone when they come to church. I don't care how they come to church. God says some plant, some water, but he'll give the what?
Increase.
You may not see a person growing, but as long as you're loving them, showing them Christ Jesus, they will eventually what? Grow. As long as you're teaching them the word of God, they will eventually what? Grow. I used to take my leaders who wanted to be ministers of the gospel, when I used to take them to training, I would always tell them to buy a plant. Don't buy a flower. Buy a small plant. Go to Home Depot. Go to Lowe's. Go to your local nursery. Get you a small plant. And I want you to take care of that plant. And I want you to tell me every day when you see that plant grow an inch. You'll never see it physically grow, but you'll come out each and every day as long as you take care of it. As long as you prune it, as long as you water it, as long as you replant it. I mean, repot it, every time you turn around, that plant will eventually what?
Grow.
You see the growth, but you don't see it what? Growing.
Right,
same thing with people.
Right.
You nurture and you take care of people, people will what?
Grow.
Amen.
But if you keep that plant in that one little vase that it was planted in, it will only grow what?
So much.
Mm-hmm. And religion does the exact same thing for us.
Yes.
I had a woman tell me one day, she knew absolutely nothing about me, met me on the elevator coming down. She said, son, are you independent fundamental Baptist? I said, no, ma'am. She said, you're going to hell. I said, thank you, ma'am. Praise God. Have a great day.
Amen.
That's what she told me. She said, son, if you're not independent fundamental Baptist, you are on your way to hell. I said, my God, I've been living all these years. Wrong. I need to change my religious beliefs. Let me go to this word real quick. We don't have much time, so let me do this to y'all real quickly. So then I asked him a question. I'm going to speed through this thing right here. He's giving them all the answers correctly based upon what has happened to them, correct? They're not satisfied. So you know what happens down in verse 19? They talk to the parents now. They don't ask the parents. They don't want to accept this man. They don't want to accept the miracle. They don't want to accept the neighbor's witness of who this guy is. Yeah, that's him. He used to live beside us. That's him who was once blind. We don't want, no. Let's go get his parents. We want somebody who knows this man to give us a what? Explanation.
Amen.
Now, God does not want what? Religion. God wants what?
Relationship.
He wants Christ Jesus wants a one-on-one with you. I remember a time, I'm telling you how to speak, so I remember a time me and my wife joined this new church. And, well, she didn't join with me, I joined without her. We were visiting this church, we were trying to fill it out, see if we wanted to be a part of this church. And so one Sunday she didn't go. And I joined that church on that day. She came back the next Sunday and she was laying in bed. She said, where you going? I said, go to church. She said, you going back up to that church out there? I said, yeah, I'm going back to that church out there. She said, wait for me, I'm going. I said, all right. So I did an altar call. I said, hey, last week I joined. She said, why didn't you wait for me? I said, because we could die at the very exact same moment when we were standing before Jesus by ourselves.
All right, now, amen.
We ain't going in the kingdom together. We ain't getting a couple's pass. One of us may not make it. Praise God. And so, I don't want it to be dependent upon me whether you get into the kingdom or me depending upon you to get into the kingdom.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says man died and then wants what? A judgment.
Uh-huh.
We all have to stand before Jesus on our own.
Uh-huh.
If you don't get a relationship with Christ with yourself, you're about to miss the what?
Kingdom.
And I'm going to tell y'all something right now. I'm going to say it. I live in enough hell on this earth to know I don't want to die and go away to hell. Eternal. And here's the bad news about that. That's not the end point. At the end of time, that will be wrapped up in a nice gift bag and served to the lake of what? Fire. Ain't that crazy? Hell ain't enough, but you got to go now and spend eternity burning in the lake of fire. Man, I ain't waiting on nobody. I'm getting my own relationship with who? Christ.
Amen.
So now they're not satisfied, right? They're not happy with it. I said that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus is not talking about the devil. I know some of y'all are mad at me now because that's all you heard all your life. And that's probably what some of y'all have taught, some of y'all have held on to. And, you know, when something goes wrong, you start quoting the first thing you say, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But that's not the devil. Jesus is talking about religious leaders right now. And I'm going to tell you why he's talking about religious leaders. So now he's asking the parents, is this he? And the parents says, yes, this is my son. They said, how is he healed? They said, we don't know. Ain't that crazy? They're now afraid. Watch this. 19. And they asked him, saying, is this your son? He said, born blind, and does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now see, we do not know. Or how his eyes were opened, we don't know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. Look at verse 22, and this is why God does not like religion. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the what?
Synagogue.
That's all they knew. That was their relationship to God, was through the what? Synagogue. And so now you're telling me you're going to kick me out of the place where I have my established foundation with God if I confess Jesus as what? Lord. If I say that Jesus did this thing, they're going to do what? Throw me out. So they would much rather, and this is how religion is, they would much rather denounce the fact or not even acknowledge the fact of how their son was healed because they were afraid of getting kicked out of the what? Synagogue. Isn't that crazy? We're going to kick you. We're gonna kick you out of God's place. We're gonna kick Now, there's sometimes some people do have to get kicked out. I ain't gonna lie. No, I'm just kidding. I'm blessed. I had to break the monotony because y'all looking at me like, y'all, what the hell? So they go on in this conversation, continue to have it on, and so now they're back at the son. They're calling him a sinner. They say, how are you teaching us? Look at where we've come to and where people are that nobody can teach us. The Pharisees said, who are you? You were, listen to what they said. You were born a sinner. That's what they called him. They say, you were born a sinner. Well, who wasn't? Who was not born a sinner? Everybody that lived after Adam and Eve were born what?
Sinners.
But some people become so self-righteous, they forget that they were and are still what?
Sinners.
We're saved by what? If it wasn't for the mercy of the blood being on the mercy seat, we'd all be what? Dead. If it wasn't for Christ dying on the cross for each and every one of us, we would be short. I'm telling you right now. They said that man was a what? Sinner. You can't teach me nothing. Do you know who I am? I'm sorry, you all. A thought from a movie just crossed into my mind. I can't say that. I'm not doing watching bad movies all the time. Woo! Now it was from Training Day. It was Denzel Washington said, King Carmen ain't got nothing on me. Did any of y'all see that movie? That's what the Pharisees were saying. Do you know who I am? Ooh, Lord, get them thoughts out of my mind. Ooh. But anyway, and so they went on. They have this conversation with them. Let's fast forward real quickly. They're fussing and fighting back and forth with the guy who just got his sight back. This is what happened over in verse 33. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born." Is there a half born in sin? You were completely. Now me, I was incompletely born, but you were completely born in sin. I was half sin, you full sin. Does that make sense to you? You were complete. And the reason why they did this is because there were generational curses. Let's just be honest. And there were some people suffering the things in which they suffered because what had come down through time through their family, because of what had happened in their family. So some people were, you know, suffering from generational curses. But I'm going to tell y'all something right now. If you are born in Christ Jesus, if you're giving your life to the Lord, there's no generational curse on your life.
Amen.
He whom the Son set free is what?
Free
indeed.
Amen.
Oh my gosh. He who is free is what?
Free
indeed. In fact, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3:17, the Bible says that the Lord and the Spirit are what?
One.
Uh-oh, there's a part of the Trinity. So people say, ain't no Trinity. The Lord and the Spirit are what?
One.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
And I'll tell you, I may finish singing up here today. If you want liberty, I don't know what else is going on in your life. We are not physical liberty through what the Marines and us and the Army and the Navy and all those folks have done for us. And I know there's an argument between who's the greatest between the Marines and the Army and the Air Force. I don't care. As long as y'all do what you do, I praise God for you. We've all great minds. I couldn't cut the mustard, praise God. So you cut the mustard, thank God for your service and all that other good stuff. Now, where was I in thought? That's what happens when you get older. But listen. So they're fighting with them. I got to get real close, you all. They're fighting with this. They're fighting with the complete sinner. How many of you all in here are complete sinners? I just got to check now. How many of y'all in here are complete sinners? Saved by grace. Thank the Lord for being saved by what?
Grace.
Because if it wasn't for the Lord on my side, I know where I would be. Some people say, I don't know where I'd be. No. Yes, you do. You know where you'd be. Just like I know where I would be. If it wasn't for the love of God on my side, God knows. I know where I'd be. I'm telling you, I'd be out in the street slapping people in the mouth, punching people in the eye, cursing folks out. We got some people who do that anyway. But you know, at the end of the day, I know where I would be. So here's one of my favorite things, y'all. I just, listen, y'all help me. I can't stay focused to save all the days of my life. I always say this to everybody who comes down here, but I just want to remind y'all, how many of y'all get in a Walmart line and get upset when people got 20 items and a 10 item or less line? That's their grocery cart. Here's yours. And then the person behind you, I can't believe the people up front of me got that stuff in the car. Then you start talking real loud to yourself, this is a 10 item for less. Messed up, aren't you? You see how messed up we are? Just messed up, man. When you got in line, you don't know that the person at the register, because they didn't have nobody else in line, they told the person with 35 items in their cart to come get in line. Yes. Here you come in your holiness. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Why, Lord, why? Why would you be persecuted? Suffering. And all you're doing is in a Walmart line. You ain't even suffering nothing. Amen. So, my next comedy show will be tomorrow night. I'm sorry. I don't make it as a preacher. I don't get it. So, here's the other part. I'm very close. So, they kick the son out of the synagogue. They kicked him out. They gave him the royal boot. It says this in verse 34. They answered and said to him, "You're completely born in sin, and you're teaching us," and they cast him out. God, to be more careful. What are we doing? And they do it today in church. And they put all kinds of religious restraints on you. They talk to you in any old kind of way. They treat you in any old kind of way. And then they want you to be in church. And I'm going to tell you right now, churches oftentimes, not the majority of them, but enough of them, oftentimes enough put you more in bondage than the world does.
Amen. All right.
You're supposed to come to church, be set free, they got you in bondage.
Amen. Amen.
And so the Bible says here, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, Jesus went looking for him. When he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Now, I'm going to message y'all some of y'all philosophy. There's not one time, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, but I don't remember reading one time Jesus asked anybody, "Do you want to be saved?" Oh, it's quiet now. He never asked people, "Do you want to be saved? Do you believe in God?" I done messed up the whole church foundation. He never tugged at people. He never prodded people. He never put you in bondage about where you were in your life.
Amen.
He didn't. People wanted to be touched and healed, and Jesus did what? Touched and healed people.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Amen.
Some of y'all may not want me to come back next time, but that's all right. Two more times.
Amen.
It's funny, I was standing out there waiting for one of our members to come in. The guy was going to the store over there. He said, "Hey, you look familiar." I said, "Okay, here we go." He said, "You're Stubblefield, right?" I said, "Yes, I am. Praise God." He said, "I remember you from 92. Oh, Lord.
We all know that one.
He says, "I remember you from 92. I said, "My gosh." He started naming off Richard Fox.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you.
I see.
Yeah. For most of y'all don't know, me and Kevin worked together for years. He left me.
He who was set set free is what? Free indeed.
I'm trying to get there. My zipper not unleashed, y'all. Y'all forget me. So they said, so they locked him up. Jesus asked him to leave. That's what he asked. When, who got the Bible? What is that in the next verse?
Which one? 35,
36, 21. The 35, he said, Jesus heard that they had.
Yes.
Yeah, so what was the 36?
He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?
And what happened next?
And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you.
Wait a minute. Do you believe in who?
Son of God. He believes in the Son of God.
And what did he say?
He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you.
And what happened after that?
Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped.
Amen.
What happened after that?
And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind.
Amen.
You came to set some folks what?
Free.
Amen. 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 You want to be saved? Believe in the Son.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's it. That's it.
Jesus came to tear down all that structure, all that false religion. Jesus came in to tear down everything those false teachers were doing. And that's why he says they were not hearing their voices when you get into chapter 10. And then he says something interesting. He says, after the 10:10, he says, for the hireling do not own the sheep. And when the wolf comes, good golly, Miss Molly. The wolf is who? The devil. When the wolf comes, he says, they just take off what? Running.
What?
They can't be found.
All right, now.
Is my pants unzipped again? All right. Listen, Lord. It hurts my heart. It does. It pains my heart to see us in the conditions that we're in today in life because people don't know the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
God just wants to set you free.
All right.
He wants you to believe in him. And he wants to set you free.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom.
All right.
Jesus says, for tonight you shall be with me in what?
Paradise.
Amen.
Now, how many of y'all know that there are three heavens? Three heavens. First is the atmosphere. You breathe in that one. Remember? It says principalities and spiritual and heavenly places. Mm-hmm. The second is the stratosphere, which is the stars, the moons, galaxies, and all that other stuff. But the third one they call what?
Paradise.
Jesus says, this day you shall be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
He didn't say you want to be saved. He didn't look at him on the cross and say you want to be saved. He says, this day, when you choose to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's all about being saved. Don't get me wrong. But so many times we just form our doctrinal positions on, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Do you believe in Jesus as your personal Lord?
Amen.
Through that salvation, what comes? I just want us to be free in the Lord. Come out of the traditions of the church. Go to church. But come out of the traditions of a lot of stuff that happened in church. And go in there and freely worship God. Praise Him. And watch God freely move in your lives. So that when we think about memorials, we'll remember that cross and what it really was all about. And I got to tell y'all something. Jesus ain't on that cross no more. That was just a vehicle to get you and I where we need to be today.
Amen.
It's now what happens after the cross that's most important. The life you live right now is most important.
Amen.
Is there anybody here who want to be saved today?
Oh,
Y'all all messed up, right? He said, Jesus, they said about being saved. What are you talking about, Pastor? Because too many times we just make doctrinal statements and strongholds based on things that's just not God. You should want to make sure that your life is in the hands of the Lord. Salvation. Anybody here want to be saved today? You do? Would you be like the Lord? Come on. Come on. Don't worry about these people. Come on.
Amen.
My hands were cold. I just had water in them. Can I hug you? What's your name?
Wanda.
Wanda. Amen. Listen, Wanda. And you heard everything I said today. The question I asked you is, do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And that He is the Son of God. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 10:19 that you believe in your heart that Christ died on the cross for you, and you confess Him with your mouth, you shall be saved.
Amen.
If you just confessed Him in front of everybody else here this day, you shall be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Is there anybody else before I get out of here? Because I'm going to pray with her real quickly. Anybody else who want to rededicate their life? I know, Kevin, I normally throw this over to you, but.
No, no, you're good.
Anybody else in here who want to rededicate their life and give their life to the Lord for the first time? I met a woman yesterday at a wedding. We were performing the wedding. There was some little hiccups going on. The woman started fussing and complaining. She had a car parked right beside me. I said, "Hey, you know Jesus is Lord." She says to me, "I did, but for a long time, I just walked away from God." I said, "You want to rededicate your life today?" She says, "Yes, sir." Right before the wedding started yesterday, we just started praising God, and she rededicated her life to the Lord yesterday, and that's all God wants from us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to pray for her. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, while we're praying for her, I want you to pray for who?
Yourself.
Because a lot of times we're fooling our what?
Selves.
A lot of times we ain't where we're going. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want you to be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed.
Amen.
You said Wanda just wanted. Hey, man, my cousin ain't Wanda. She's not close. So that means you and I will be close friends? Hey, praise God. Amen. Let's all bow our heads real quickly. Father God, in the breath of Sam and Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for Wanda this day, Lord. She said, Lord, she wants to be saved, set free from the very bondages of this world, Heavenly Father, that her spirit, man, God, may be aligned with your perfect will. I'm asking right now that you surround her with men and women, Lord, that will genuinely have interest in her walk with you as she does for herself. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you give her all that she has need of, Heavenly Father, to continue to live out this race of her life, Lord, in such a manner, God, that you're glorified. There's going to be some great storms ahead, some great difficulties, yeah. Lord. But you know what? We're victorious through Christ. Because He has overcome the world, Lord, so shall we in Christ. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. It's in Jesus' mighty name that I pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Kevin, you can have it back, man. Sorry for taking up so much of y'all's time, but I get to talk, and I love this stuff right here. Amen.